Augie Garrido is with us on Sports Byline, the fine baseball coach at the University of Texas. And, of course, he has won a number of national championships, five to be exact, and six times he's been named the Coach of the Year. And I mentioned about him having a book out called Life is Yours to Win, Lessons Forged from the Purpose, Passion, and Magic of Baseball. Tell me about the motivation for writing this book, Augie.
Well, basically, I had a hard time with it, and I was actually with Kevin Costner, who's a friend of mine, and we were talking one day, and he says, "Why don't you go out? Let's go play some golf." I said, "I don't like to play golf. I got one game with a ball and a stick I can't conquer. I don't need to take up another one." He says, "Well, what do you like to do?" And I says, "Well, I really don't read much, and I don't like to write very much." He says, "You know what you should do? You should get over those fears and write a book." So I did. And so it was just a story that I thought, and Kevin did the introduction to the book, and it's a story about school teachers, and it's a story about going from being fear motivated. That's what I learned growing up in the housing projects, and with my dad, you know, being in the hip pocket of my dad and fearing failing him or letting him down or disappointing him really drove me. And winning that trophy was confirmation. Winning that blue ribbon, winning that ring, winning that game was a sure way to keep him off my back. And I took that into my coaching for a long time, and I realized that I was being successful, but I was unhappy on a personal level because I was going after the wrong reward. And I dug in, and it's explained in the book, and went from being fear-driven and trophy-orientated to passion-motivated, and recognizing that it's really about the relationships. And at the end of the day, that's what really makes the difference. And in every spirituality, we all know the greatest gifts that you receive come from what you have given to others. And that's what Kevin did for me when he, and it's all in the introduction of that, and he gave me a different level of confidence and endorsed me as a teacher and as a person. And I just wanted to share that with any mentor in any thing that they're doing with performers at any age, that it's all about fear and confidence, and the role of the school teacher is to keep challenging and motivating and approving and disapproving in such a way that the athlete or the dancer or the musician or the artist starts to gain confidence that will enable them to overcome their fears and fulfill their destiny and become the person they're meant to be. And from that, what you get from those the people you come in contact with is the ultimate reward. You get their respect, and you get their trust, and you become friends.
You know, I find it interesting because, first of all, I think fear can be a real good motivating factor. And what I mean by that is it's the difference between looking at the glasses half full or half empty. And I had Michael Jordan say to me one time, Augie, that when the game is on the line, I want to be the one to determine the outcome. If I succeed, I want the glory. If I fail, I'll take the blame. And not everybody is comfortable with taking blame. Do you find that among athletes, those especially that have a lot of self-esteem, that fear is a great motivating factor for them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It actually strikes faster than confidence. It makes things happen faster. And because it's a more powerful energy than confidence. And I think it's, you have an instinctive response to it, and you either, you know, the term is fight or flight, and you've heard that a lot of times before, but that's what Michael's talking about. He's talking, give me the ball, man, I'm going to put the thing in. Then if it, because in that moment, his instinct is to want that ball because he has the confidence to win that game. He knows he's going to win that game. If he doesn't, then he learns from that failure. He feels the pain. He feels disappointment. He feels the agony, and we've seen his pictures of him laying on the floor. Remember in that locker room when he missed?
Yep.
And that's all real, but he never dreamed that could happen. But he's brave enough and confident enough to instinctively respond that way. It's pretty awesome. And you can find that Houston streets just like that. I mean, these guys that have that gift are pretty special.
Augie Garrido is with us, the University of Texas successful baseball coach, and of course he has a book out called Life is Yours to Win. I would think that one of the greatest challenges for you as a coach, Augie, is to understand the personalities and the makeup of each of your players on your team and find a way in order to be able to motivate them. Am I correct in that assumption?
You're absolutely correct, because you know there's 29 different personalities in some studies, and every one of them is going to respond differently, and there's all types of different ways to learn, and some are very visual learners. Some are learn very well from reading. Some, you know, and so you have all this going on, and that's the excitement in the whole business. How can I, as a mentor, have a positive effect and gain the trust and respect that will help this athlete become who he's meant to be and wants to be? And that's where the relationship all takes place. All the personalities are different. Evolution has changed the way we do things, but there's one common denominator that has been the same in all 43 years that I've coached. The players want to be successful, and they're like a six-year-old at a swimming pool. Watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me. And when you do, and you can help them, and you can tell them the right thing to do, and they get a sense of success, which brings with it confidence. They do overcome their fears. They respect you and trust you, and that's the ultimate reward.
You know, I compare you to the late John Wooden because I think you're very similar in the way you look at sports, the way you look at people. And I remember in a conversation I had with John one time, he talked not so much about his star players, but at the ones that were at the end of his roster, in a sense. And I'm sure you've had players like that as well. I mean, you've had a lot of star players, as I pointed out, with J.P. Howe and Houston Street and Mark Kotze and everything. But have there been – tell me about some players that you had that you're particularly proud of, even if they weren't a star.
Well, let's go all the way back to and start with 1979, our first national championship. And on that particular team, we had a player named Joe Martelli who was the third-string catcher. And he didn't play a lot because we had Curt Kingsolver, who was one of the better catchers in the country on that 79 team. That team also included Tim Wallach, who won the Golden Spike Awards for the Player of the Year in college baseball that year. So it was a team blessed with talent. And Joe was a hard worker, still is, and a friend of mine now. And he was a guy that didn't get to play very much, but at the College World Series in 1979, he got to hit seven times in pinch hit roles and had the highest batting average, 600 and something, as a pinch hitter in the College World Series. He's now the owner of a large real estate company here in Orange County. His son, Marco, is coaching a high school baseball team. His daughter's managing a woman's clothing store. It's a great story. Yeah, that baseball is a metaphor for life. We all know that. Anybody that's been in it recognizes that. That's the kind of story, and that's where that is the excitement in it for me. We have two bullpen catchers that never get to take batting practice, get balls bounced off their legs, and and beat up in the bullpen, and they probably have as much to do with the team success as anybody. So I think that is one of the common denominators. It takes teamwork, and no one knows who's more important. No one knows who's less important. We all just have different roles on the team. I have a role on the team. My assistants have roles on the team. The players have roles on the team. But the one thing is we have to do our role on the team to the best of our ability. And knowing full well we're going to fail a lot. And when we do, we've got to look at it as an opportunity to learn, grow and get better. It applies to me just like it applies to everyone else.
I was just going to ask you if you've ever been frustrated by the fact that you've seen a player that had potential but never reached it.
Devastated, because I take that very personally. Not that I see myself as a martyr or any godlike type person, but, you know, it's my job to help people help themselves be who they're meant to be. And yes, I have, and it's really a devastating feeling.
One of the parts of your book that I found fascinating was the fearless field, master fear and other emotions. That's easier said than done for a lot of people. Emotions really come into play an awful lot. How do you suggest people do that?
Well, the tool, of course, it's a combination of self-esteem and confidence, but you have to have success. And like we talked about earlier, fear strikes quickly, and it's very powerful and very motivating. And it can cause good things to happen, but the result of it is you end up pretty lonely and pretty worn out because you're working on willpower. Love's a little slower, takes a lot longer, but it's a lot more rewarding because it involves what you have to give to somebody else. And you just can't be right all the time.
you also, you know, you do something, you use humor in a very positive way, and I've always found that fascinating. And you stage a costume superhero scrimmage each Halloween to remind your players about the inner superhero. Tell me a little bit about how that came about and what you try to do with that.
They were so uptight, you know. There's a lot of pressure at the University of Texas. There's a lot of expectations. There's a lot of fear of the coaches. The environment is so powerful. And so I constantly remind them, you know, you need to come out here to practice with the idea in mind that you were, at 12 years old, people used to stop what they were doing to watch you pitch or watch you hit. You were the baddest dude on the baseball field, and you knew it. You knew it. That's the feeling you've got to keep with you right now. Because if you let all these things around you, all the assumptions, all the expectations, all the things that you can't control, you'll be devastated every time you swing and miss. So you can't play that way. You have to play like you are a kid, and you deserve the same right to fail as you do to succeed. And as anyone else has. And just getting into costume, the first time I did it, just seemed like a way to turn them into a kid, you know, and get them out there and break down the barriers and take away all the false pretenses and just be one, just go trick-or-treating, man.
What type of costumes has Augie Garrido worn? I'm trying to picture this in my mind, Augie.
Well, I'm not the winner of the all-time best coach's costume. Tommy Harmon did that because he is the guy that controls get in there and shave. We have standards here at the University of Texas. He represents old school University of Texas tradition, and so he's on top of all that kind of thing, you know. So now he comes out and he's got the whole Manny Ramirez look going with the dreadlocks and everything, and it's a total crack up, you know. And that was the whole purpose of it, was for everyone to come out and just be something different, just have fun. And I think one of the unusual ones, I did write about the funeral stuff, and people might find that funny, but one that we were at the College World Series with Fullerton one time, and we were having a miserable practice, and no one was paying attention to what was going on. And there was a Little League game going on a field just right beside us. And I took the team and I divided them in half and put one half on one side and one half on the other side and said, I want you to watch these guys play because they're having fun playing baseball and you're not having any fun playing baseball. And at the end of it, one of you guys is going to be a winner because of those kids right on that field. So you better root for you better motivate your team.
Augie, I want to thank you very much. I appreciate it. We're going to make your book a selection of the month here at Sports Byline. You are welcome here anytime, my friend. Good
Thank
luck,
you.
And let's stay in touch. Take care, Augie.
All right, Ron. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Fine baseball coach at the University of Texas. He has won 5 national championships, and 6 times he has been named the Coach of the Year. And the name of his book is called Life is Yours to Win. You might want to check this one out. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.